Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 217 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. From co-founder of a vodka company to building an innovative league of their own non-alcoholic beverage, Faye is a powerhouse woman behind Bon Buzz. We deserve a good buzz on, minus the boozy blues and anxiety. Faye walks us through her own relationship with alcohol and how that led her to be a force in the non-alcoholic beverage industry. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it. Faye, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. And I'm so happy that we finally got to connect. I know your schedule is so crazy and hectic right now because you're just a woman in charge. You're a lady in business.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, and wearing many different hats right now. So I do apologize for having had to reschedule the last two meetings, but I'm so excited to have this chat.
Don't apologize at all. I totally, totally understand. And of course, I want to talk about your fabulous company, Bon Buzz, but I wanted to back it up a little bit, and I wanted to talk about your personal experience and relationship with alcohol. Could you let us know what that is or what that looks like?
Yes. Yeah, so it's been a very meandering journey, much like the rest of my life. I would definitely say that, I mean, I'm from London, so
okay.
I grew up in Spain. So we tend to start a lot younger than the average American. And when it comes to drinking alcohol, normally you're at the table at 6 years old, drinking your mom or dad's glass of wine. And but I actually started really young in Spain when I was 13. So that's where I really got introduced to the game. And, it was great. To be honest, alcohol really worked for me. I mean, you're so fresh, your body can metabolize anything. You're invincible at that age.
Totally.
But as the years went on and it became sort of more problematic, definitely would, live in a lot of shame in my later teens and early 20s. I started to kind of explore why I was feeling so bad. And ultimately, it was really hard for me to pinpoint that it was actually alcohol. And that didn't happen until I was, 30. I'm now 36. Because, and I think ultimately it's because alcohol is so normalized, and I'm 5'2". I'm a really small human being. Yeah. And alcohol is, metabolizes differently in everyone. And it really affects me, whether it's one glass of wine or anything will make me feel less than the next day. Right. And so I continued through my 20s in this haze of alcohol. And thankfully, education was my savior. And I've always been super ambitious and really motivated to succeed in the traditional sense. But what it's funny because I came to realize that alcohol was the thing holding me back, and that was really crystallized when I was at a meditation retreat in Northern California. And it was a New Year's Eve. So I went there for 3 days over the New Year's. And we were it's one of those really vulnerable spaces where everyone can share what they're going through. And there was one woman that I just couldn't Like there was just something about her.
Like in a positive way or like?
In a positive way. Like I just, like her energy, the way she presented herself, her confidence, her like vitality was so like visceral for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the last day there that we were in one of those sharing circles and she introduced herself and she said that she was an alcoholic. And I was like, okay. that, you know, that felt really resonant with me at the time. So at the time, I'd also co-founded a vodka company, a sustainable spirits company. So I'm in this like really weird stage of, you know, I have this like self-awareness that alcohol is really sort of holding me back and restricting me from achieving everything that I want to achieve. But also like I have this duty to, you know, grow the business. And so there was like this cognitive dissonance and just like internal conflict in me. And at that stage, it was maybe, you know, I still continue to do it, but moved out of like a sales focused role into building more of the like digital direct consumer platform, which is what I love to do. And then I started to explore the future of drinking. And that's really kind of where Bombas came about. But, you know, you ask like what my relationship with alcohol is. And it's hard for me to put a label on it. And I feel like I'm like, I am just a rebellious, like I'm rebellious by nature.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I say I'm this, I will literally like, you know, 365 days or, you know, whatever, 2 years will go by. And I'm like, I've just done that exact same thing. So I'm really fluid. And for 3 years I did stop drinking. And I feel like that really gave me the opportunity to recalibrate and reevaluate like my relationship. But even today, where I very infrequently will have a drink, I know that that like it's very intentional, and it's knowing that the next day I'm going to be operating at 50% just because I think I might actually be allergic to alcohol, and I really want to test. It's such a like emotional, spiritual, physical death for me, so I have to be really careful. And it's unlike that for a lot of my friends around me who do drink. And you know, and like I remember for so much of my life I would ask, how, you know, the next day I'd be like, how are you feeling, you know, like, because I was feeling so low. And they're like, I'm fine. And it's like, yeah, okay, this work for me. And like everyone is, you know, built so uniquely, and not we just have to really do what makes us ultimately feel good, and sometimes that changes over time, you know. But for me, alcohol has been one thing that I know doesn't serve my highest self, and I argue whether it serves anyone's highest self the way that we consume it in modern society. Very different from obviously the ceremonial like ritual that we used to imbibe alcohol back in the day with fruit that had just fallen off the tree.
It's like there's a mission, right? Like when you go out drinking, like there is a mission, or at least for a lot of people.
There's a mission.
You know, it's not just one drink. It's not just one anything.
Exactly. And and on top of that, we have processed alcohol. And, you know, there's stuff that's like, you know, whether it's absinthe or even like stuff that's lethal, like we are not supposed to process that in our bodies.
Sure. And so of course.
It's just changed so drastically. Like, I think that was in line with the Industrial Revolution. And and so it's a journey, you know, and I definitely know to this day that whether I decide to have a drink, it will cause me challenges, you know, in a serious way. Sorry if that was like.
Then I have to ask, then why even go there? Like, what do you even get from drinking when you mindfully decide to drink? Like, why? I, like,
Yeah.
There has to be something, right?
Yeah. And I think that there's still this, like, really, from a small glass of wine, there is this magical window of, you know, what alcohol, like, does, which is, like, why it was, you know, why we started to ceremonialize it.
Okay.
It allows you to transcend the ordinary. And, and so, and, but, you know, as much as we've tried to, like, microdose or prolong that, you know, that small window, we haven't been able to. And so I think that it's that sort of, that really short micro moment of, like, disinhibition.
Okay.
That kind of gets me.
Okay.
But it does, it, yeah, it but not without its challenges. And so,
right.
Yeah. And I, it's, you know, it's really kind of the premise for Bombas, you know, and why we are different than your, you know, a wine alternative or a gin alternative or a, you know, or a whatever, like those, the there are clearly spirits that mimic existing flavor profiles.
Yeah.
And it's getting better and better. But when we did a deep dive into why people drink, a lot of people drink for taste, but a lot of people also drink to heighten their state, right? And get loose, to speak.
Right.
And so we wanted
to like relax, to like almost like as a marker of like either like celebration or like transition from like work all day or taking care of kids all day to like a transition into like night, relax, like chill. Yeah, it's like a state change, physically and mentally.
But the state change from stimulating the prefrontal cortex to actually blacking out your entire brain is very, like, it's a tenuous dance.
Sure.
And so that's like the difficulty and the it's unfortunate the way that happens with alcohol that is a depressant, you know. Ultimately, people feel like, oh, I feel so energized and I'm feeling like really connected. But it is for me, it's like three sips and I can feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, right. Like,
yeah. But I think we're so addicted and so enamored with feeling good. And in the moment, that feeling of like whatever is coming up for you is actually taking control, like taking control of the wheel and your decisions and acting kind of like emotionally and maybe, dare I say, immaturely.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just looking at like, oh my God, this feels so good. Let's have more. Let's have more. Let's have more. Let's have more. Like to keep these good times rolling.
And honestly, I think you bring up a really good point. Like, humans have an innate desire to get high, you know, whether it's
to feel good.
To feel good, like sex, drugs, alcohol, all of these sort of external activities and substances that sort of, you know, change our state and make us feel something outside of what we need to feel. Arguably. And so, you know, but oftentimes with those things, whether it is, you know, sex and having an unhealthy relationship or alcohol and drugs, those things make you feel bad post-consumption, you know, and really... And so when crafting Bombas as a beverage company and as a feel-good beverage company, it was, how do we unite feeling good and getting buzzed so that people can have it live in absolute harmony and not at the expense of human health?
Yeah.
And, you know, when we say getting buzzed, it's like, people think they're gonna like get drunk on Bombas, you
know? Right? But also, it's important, like Faye, it's also important to like recognize that it's okay to want to feel good, right? It's okay to maybe want to shift the way you're feeling. What I think is not the best is how we maybe go about that. And maybe how we're chasing that, and maybe our mindset around what that looks like, or are actually limiting ourselves, right? Definitely. Because we're like designed to be like, okay, during the day, you got to work and you got to work hard. And if you're not working hard, you're lazy.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think 100%. And I think it touches the point of like being really aware when throughout the day. And are you eating that piece of cake with that it has a ton of sugar in it because you are trying to escape like a feeling? Are you eating your feelings? You know, there like I think ultimately the way that we navigate all of these, like whether it's like sugar or, you know, drugs and alcohol, it's being really mindful of like why, you know, exploring, being curious as to why you are about to engage in that, you know?
Yeah.
And it like, it's so simple, and it literally just, it takes a moment, like a hand on heart kind of moment to do that, like, curiosity, like to engage in the curiosity, and that the answer will come. Like, is it a good feeling? Like, I'll have a piece of chocolate almost every day, and it makes me feel really good because I work out. It's something, it's balance, you know. I don't think there's like, and balance looks different for everyone. I think you're so right in saying that there is nothing wrong with feeling good, but it is with intention.
Yeah. And like, also, I don't know, have you looked into like the frequency and like the mindset around like what potentially makes us feel good and like what that looks like instead of, you know, kind of training our mind to be like, okay, well, like fruit can taste really good and can feel really good. And if I'm having like fruit a couple times a day, I don't feel the need. I'm not deprived for anything like sweet or that's going to give me that instant injection of like, synthetic sugar high. Like if I'm kind of dripping it out as the day goes, I'm not starved. Yeah. I'm not like, and then I don't feel shame for indulging. And then it most likely leads to overindulgence because we're starving. Like we're starving to feel good. Right? Like these are natural human needs and desires and wants. And I think the desire to feel good is not, I think, something that we've been shamed for, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, you know, what makes people feel good varies to so many degrees.
Totally.
I know that, you know, a friend of mine, I mean, I'm a hiker. Like, I really love to like go into the mountain and spend the day there. You know?
Yes.
Like, and that's like what makes me feel alive.
Totally.
Another friend of mine likes to do like kind of her activity is like slower. So she'll be doing like a yoga class, and that makes me feel good. But like, ultimately, you know, really how your body responds to certain things, and that's like an exploration in itself that needs to be, you know, as we get into adulthood, once you know the things that work for you, continue to do those things, you know.
And they'll change too, right? Like that's the beauty. Like we're supposed to change. Like you were working in like for a vodka company. Like, talk about expansion and growth. Hello. Like, we're supposed to change. And that also is going to mean the things that we take interest in, the things that light us up, the things that turn us on gonna be different. They're gonna change. We're supposed.
That's why I'm like the labels for me feel like really rigid, and I'm like, oh my god.
Because you like to change, you like to shape shift.
I mean, I don't even know if I'm open to it.
Yeah.
But I know that I've seen it. I do change so much. Like, I live in LA. You know,
yeah.
You had asked me when I was 25, would you be living in LA? I'd be like, hell no. You know,
yeah.
I fell in love with surfing at 27. And actually, I realized that I wanted to live in, well, one, I always had the like entrepreneurial itch.
Yeah.
And where else to build the American dream than in America?
Yes, ma'am.
But also like to be in a place where I could access the ocean, the mountains, you know, just be like in nature, but also build mm-hmm. the entity, you know, mm-hmm. outside
totally.
Of
totally
just like I'm like a multidimensional person, and most people are, and so LA right now really allows me to like to go and explore when I need to, but also connect with people, which is so important in business, obviously, like this conversation right now, although it's virtual. But it's, it's really dense, so it works.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely is some kind of like magic in LA, like just knowing that anything can happen at any possible time is so exciting and thrilling. Like, oof.
Yeah, I mean, you are you're kind of rubbing shoulders with, the Hollywood scene. But I think outside of that, because we live in a world where we're able to connect with anyone all over the world, that mm-hmm. magic can happen anywhere too, you know? And it's sort of
true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think?
I don't fully agree with that because, and I'll tell you why. So I lived in LA for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It truly was like when I was younger, I was a girl on fire. Like I was all over that place. I was meeting people like who I needed to meet at that time. You know, it was really fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I was DJing at the time, so I was, doing my thing. And then I got sober and I wanted to switch out of DJing, didn't like the scene anymore. And that, I think that transition was tough. I mean, it was tough, of course, obviously, like everything changes, your whole social circle, everything, the way you view the world changes. Right. It was so much clearer. It was so much like more real. Mm-hmm. It's like this filter had been taken off, which I really appreciated actually, like looking back at it now. And then the pandemic hit and I moved up to Vancouver, Canada. And I have to say, it is pretty boring here. It definitely does not. Like I can only conjure up so much magic, right? And I can only manifest. And I don't know if you're familiar with like human design. Do you follow or subscribe to that? Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited.
I'll hit you later. But human design is really designed to help you learn about how you kind of ingest and receive and then process and put out your dreams and how you kind of make your way through the world. And as a manifest generator, I'm very affected by my surroundings, and I'm very inspired. And that's why TV, movies, like visually stuff, like even going shopping is very, it's very inspiring to me. So that there's a cap in Vancouver, and it's definitely different than LA. I'm not saying it's better or worse or whatever, but there's way less people, Everyone has like a 9-to-5 here. I find in LA, it's a little more fluid, like people, way more entrepreneurs, younger people. It's just a different mix, yeah. I feel. The weather is hell of a lot better. And that 100% affects your mood. And of course, we all know your mood then affects your environment and how you, you know, show relay up. That. Into, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Into the world. So that, I mean, that affects you. That contributes to the magic, I think.
So by this human design concept, what yes. do you think would be your ideal? Like, I want to mm-hmm. know what that manifestation is for you. And is it like location out of the picture? So you're doing sure. you're connecting with people all over the world, right?
Yeah. Virtually. Yes.
However, it sounds like the physical, your geographic location and the environment is a little slower and mm-hmm. less sort of dense than you'd like for it to be, maybe like culturally or whatever speaking.
A little less stimulating, like a little less creative, maybe.
Jessica wants to become a DJ again.
No, definitely not. I am definitely retired from DJing, but like, I don't know. I just miss even walking down the street or even going for coffee, you know, like
you can't walk down the street in LA.
Well, like I used to live in West Hollywood, and like I would walk down, I lived like in Melrose Place area, and I used to walk down Melrose okay. and you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like you'll be talking to someone at a coffee shop and just go on this like beautiful, wonderful tangent, and like worlds collide, and it's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that can't happen everywhere.
Mm.
I just feel it's a little more open and unique in LA.
Mm. I think just no. by virtue of the fact of the density and
yeah,
the
hustle. Numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, numbers, but also the hustle, you know, it's very yeah. much like people come here to build their dream, you know, whether that's yeah. in acting or, you know, now there's this like really bustling sort of CPG startup scene, like so much yeah. happens here. So I think that, and I think, honestly, people do go out being like, I don't know who I'm going to meet. Like, I know my cousin will go out to a restaurant and like mm-hmm. come back with connections that have set her up for the next 5 years of her life. You know, she's like that. Yeah. Person. Like, how does, well, firstly, I feel like she can flirt with a wall. So it's really like good for her. But also,
love
you know,
that.
But I think you're right. People are really open here because yeah. everyone's sort of on a similar journey
yeah.
that might not be the case in Vancouver, you know?
Yes.
Like you've got, I don't know what the demographic is, but potentially slightly older as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't feel like a lot of people take risks here. Like you just said, like LA, people specifically come to LA for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, it can be overwhelming and it can feel like, oh, everyone's just trying to get ahead. And they are. And I personally do not find anything wrong with that because I am more than willing to help. Like whatever I know that you may not know, I'm super down to exchange information that way. Like I've never been a gatekeeper per se, you know, and I used to do this with DJing. Other DJs would be like, oh my God, like, what was that remix that you played? And I'm like, you know what, dude, you can have my entire music catalog. And I'll tell you why, because you will never mix two songs the same. You will never dance. You will never drop that beat at the same time as I do, because you and I are different. You may hear something different in a song that I may not hear. And that will have you play it differently, mix it in with another song completely different. And I'm fine with that. I appreciate our differences, and I know you can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do.
Yeah. And I think
game on.
Ultimately, I still think like imitation is the, what is it? Imitation is like the most,
the highest form of flattery.
The highest form of flattery, you know?
Yeah.
It's still,
well, cool, we're all copying the same shit. We're all saying the same shit.
We're evolving. Like if someone, it's like, it is the theory of evolution, you know?
Yeah.
Like it, music's getting better. Drinks are getting better. You know, it's how the world works.
Yeah. And we're innovative. Like things are, we're creating things, you know, this is how, like in times of strife and times of depression, like these are when things are created and invented to help propel humanity.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Definitely.
So I am so down for that. And I love being in that energy. It can get overwhelming, sure, at times, right? I'm sure you might have felt that or feel like, you know, maybe doing the comparison game.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely gets to you.
I'm like, where can I live on a farm and grow my own, be self-sustainable and you know, all of that.
So wait, how long have you lived in LA?
I've been in LA 4 years.
Okay, that's exactly why that's coming up. It's like the four-year mark. Everyone wants a farm.
Yeah, and I was 4 years in Orange County, so.
Okay. You know,
but I feel like I get this like itch after, you know, 3-4 years where I'm like, what's next? You know, like, I think it's a result of just like wanting to feel like stimulated by my surroundings. And sometimes after 4 years, you're kind of like, okay, I've seen a lot, you know, and I feel like I'm an autopilot. So how do I change that?
Totally.
How long have you been in Vancouver for?
I've been here since the pandemic, so I guess 3 years? Is it three?
Sounds like you're coming up to that mark too.
Yeah. I've been on the mark for sure, but I don't know if I would live in LA again. I love to visit. Yeah. I'm coming to LA in October to do an event. I'm just not sure if I want to live there again. You know, it's great to visit, get that hit, and then leave.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I find that I'm always like wanting to move like in a forwards direction. And so when people are like, oh, would you move back to London? I'm like, hell no. You know?
Yeah, what's been next? There.
Like there's so much of the world to see. And my friend had recently told me that she saw her ex-neighbor who lived in the house next to her with his wife and kids, and they sold their house I think like 2 years ago and bought a sailboat and sailed around the world for two years, and then she randomly saw him, I don't know, in an Erewhon or something, and he was like,
what?
And she's like, hi. She's like, he looks so different. And he's like, yeah, I'm back. Like I went, you know, I was sailing obviously with my family, and I really want to buy my old house back. And we were joking because you traveled around the whole world and you want to be in Burbank after seeing all of that.
Wow, that's interesting.
So I mean,
maybe that represents like stability and like safety for him.
Totally.
Because being out on like the ocean,
100% for 2 years. So,
oh, hell no.
Yeah, I think he's like, where is my comfort? And like that, you know, that is in his home in Burbank. So,
yeah,
it's really funny. But I'm like, Mexico City, like, well, where can we go next?
I'm totally down to travel. I think it's so fun and like, it's so exciting. I think our world is such an amazing place. We're so lucky.
Totally.
We're so lucky. Yeah. So Faye, I want to transition me to Bond Buzz. Like the last we kind of left off, you were working for a vodka company. How did you then relay that to Bon Buds? Like what happened?
Yeah, so it was like 4 years at the vodka company, and you know, it was like more of a like mission driven brand, which of it like I loved, and I helped co-found it, and you know, it was pretty hard to leave because I've never been a solo founder before, but there was no denying that I had this like this tension that existed inside me because I didn't even like vodka.
Yeah, well, it's hard to push and back something that you don't like.
Yeah,
it's tough.
So, but a friend of mine had a distillery and I wanted to build a brand, you know, and so that's kind of how it came about. But and it was cool because it was like sustainability was at the sort of forefront of it. But when I got sober, I decided to really kind of explore why I was drinking, like what is, you know, all of those like I got really curious about what it was that led me to alcohol and ultimately and what I liked about it and how I could make it better. I now had all of the skills of what it took to build, you know, a spirits company. And so in 20, you know, I had this idea at the time that, you know, Seedlip had like launched and there were maybe three brands in the marketplace. It was like very early on. And I was like, you know, there was just, I was just so passionate about it. I was like, you know, this is the future. Like, there's no denying it. And 100%. So, and so when I was looking at formulation, that happened in my kitchen for a long time, going to Ron's Tea Garden and getting like all different types of teas and supplements and experimenting and just trying to kind of see what combination and stack would work. But I'm not, you know, I'm not like a food scientist. And so once I, you know, I'm doing just a ton of research around, ultimately, I want Bon Buds to be a play for life preservation. Like, ultimately, we're all trying to live happy and healthy lives for as long as possible. And so how can Bon Buds be a vehicle for that in the ingredients that we use and make you feel good, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So when I was looking at, there are some supplement brands that I really look up to, like Onnit, O-N-N-I-T, Bill Aubrey Marcus, and Exited. But that is a really potent blend that actually, like, when I would take, like, makes me feel physically ill, unfortunately. Like, again, just a very sensitive person. Like, I would physically want to, you know, I would just get nauseous from it.
Right.
And really jittery. So what I kind of was looking at different ratios for the formulations and everything that's currently in our spirits, and they have the same functional stack, works to make people feel more energized. And that's very natural. Like, we want, when we were exploring why people drink to feel more connected, to feel, you know, change state, feel more energized. And so things we use like caffeine, 5-HTP, tyrosine, rhodiola, ginger, they all fall under the umbrella of nootropics and adaptogens that support brain function and mood, essentially. And we have B vitamins in our drink, so that's really great for energy. But ultimately, and I think from what we've experienced, people feel something, and that's really exciting. And there are some people who are like, this didn't get me buzzed at all. And it's like, but you know, alcohol also works very differently on everyone.
Exactly.
And I think there's an issue around expectation. You know, we say the buzz without the booze, and I think people sometimes feel like it's going to get them drunk or, you know, a high of THC or something of that sort. And we just use very natural ingredients that work with your body to elevate state. And nice. So again, like a TikTok's a really powerful platform for us.
Okay.
And we put a lot of content on there where it's like, because people are like, what does it do? What does it do? And like, right. So we'll create videos to sort of educate. How will it make me feel? And all of that. And like, yeah. And then, yeah, it's been so fun to see Bombas yeah. in the world. And we're about to launch our ready to drink format. So it's essentially like up the functional stack in a more optimized fashion for midday.
Cool.
Really built for like the midday lift.
Okay. Ooh.
But because it's like this medium bodied liquid mm-hmm. that isn't a Spindrift, it's not a kombucha. It sort right. of sits in this like it's more cocktail-esque,
okay. but
also more drinkable and just really refreshing. So wow. I just feel like it's hitting this zone that yeah. no one's hit before, and I can't wait for you to try the fizz cans.
Oh yeah!
As soon as they are into our warehouse, which, as you know, has been a slight challenge.
This has been a labor of love, girl.
A labor of love, of sweat, yes. of tears, of, you know, and it's so funny because when we launched Bombas in December of 2020 on a pre-order campaign.
Wow.
Because we had raised 45K in our friends and family. Yep. And that took us, you know, essentially we bootstrapped that to our pre-seed round. But, you know, the pre-order monies funded the first production.
Okay. And
we had the whole team come to my place, the place that I was staying in Larchmont.
Yeah.
And we were all packing, and we had, and because the pre-order on OG was so long.
Yeah.
Much like the cans. I think Bombas is really good at extended pre-orders. But
yeah. But, you guys really thrive on the pre-orders.
But we were packing these boxes, and the whole place, it was a huge place that I was staying at, my friend's mom's place.
Yeah.
But I had blood on my hands. The
no.
From packing boxes, you know? And it was a whole
team effort.
But it really is blood, sweat, and tears when they say that, you know?
Yeah.
It took every bit of me. It was like, I want to say 16 hour days, you know? Because
yeah.
We just had to get the product out, and customers yeah. were wanting to know where it was. Like it had been like 3.5 months. And
right.
the brand was just sort of like a pre-order website. Now right. people know that we fulfill, you know.
Yeah, you're legit.
So I'm like, hey, we're having loads of issues with supply chain, et cetera, and people are more understanding.
Yeah.
But at the time I was, you know, I think you just gain confidence, and we built trust with our consumers as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it really is blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. And I mean, to anyone listening, like, this is the nature of small business and like being innovative and trying to, you know, break the mold, you know. And it's really nice. Like, it sounds like you have a really loyal consumer base, and they trust you and they love your product. Obviously, you're really doing such a fantastic job, and you're just trying your best. And that's all we can do. That's all yeah. anyone can do.
Yeah. It's a definitely a real life MBA. I mean, I didn't know I was going to become an expert at like import export, but here we are.
Hello.
And yep. supply chain, you know, we yep. have just on from an ingredient standpoint, because, you know, we use a lot of different supplements and extracts and juices, especially in our cans.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, I think, like 23 ingredient suppliers, you know.
Wow, that's a lot to manage.
Yeah. And so, and everyone has like different, you know, lead times and
right.
The MOQs and all of that. It's been such a journey, and I actually really like supply chain, believe it or not. But when you're also like trying to fundraise,
yeah, can only do so much, right? Yeah, and this is like the nature of small business. And that's why it's so important to support small business and women-owned businesses, because you're literally wearing 20 different hats. You're doing everything yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually listening to the founder of Joyous on your show. And you know, I don't have two kids, and I really do feel for women entrepreneurs who are doing this work and also have to be a mother and a wife, you know? And so it's so insane to me. And like, mom guilt is real, you know? It's
totally.
So I think they're doing God's work, and at this stage I only have to look after myself. It's I wouldn't have it any other way. And I think like it's so important to be enjoying the daily journey, and that in itself has been a real, like, it's taken me a long time to actually get to the position of, okay, no matter what happens, like, outside of the result, like, is this what I want to be doing? Yes, I'm changing, you know, I am making a positive impact in people's lives, and that is what I want to be doing. But also, it can feel very tough when there are so many challenges and obstacles that you're having to face. And so you're not sleeping, you're not working out, you're not eating right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can become a really negative spiral. So for me, like, the way that I get through the day is like sleep. Like, I have to be in bed by 10.
Yeah.
Again, sensitive person.
Totally.
So
I feel you.
Even if it's 11, like, I'm kind of like, I can sense my offness the next day.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then like, nutrition and exercise and like getting that those endorphins up, you know, and then I'm like the best version of myself no matter what comes at me, which invariably maybe once every hour something's gonna come up.
It's important.
Exactly.
Faye, where can we find Bon Buzz?
So the easiest, like, if you're at home and you're wanting to try, the easiest place is just to go on our website, bonbuzz.com, or and we have our stockists on the stockist page. It's linked there. We're also really lively on TikTok, so at bonbuzz, and also Instagram at bonbuzz. And so love to hear from anyone. I migrate through those accounts. So
fantastic. Amazing. Well, Faye, thank you so, so much. I know you're so busy and you got a lot going on right now, but thank you for sharing time and space and your knowledge. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And and I want to chat offline.
Yes.
How awesome is Faye? And of course, we chatted offline. And do we have some fun things in store for you, Sober Girls? As always, please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. And remember, sharing is caring. If you know a friend or a loved one who might need this episode in their life, please make sure to share it. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide, and head to asobergirlsguide.com. We got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. From the Sober Girls Social Club to group coaching to workbooks and exercises, we got your back, girl. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.